Morning, everyone. This is not a place I would desire to be, but it's been about 2 months ago, John asked me if I would share something, and so I'm like, believing that nothing happens by chance, I say, okay, Lord. The one word that I've kind of been meditating on is humbled. James chapter 4, verse 6, God says, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. And there's a number of things during this period of time and all that have happened, and that's why I'm talking about this. My work truck, the transmission had failed on me, and it was in the shop. And while I had the loaner vehicle, I got a traffic ticket, which is not something I normally get, and I did thank the officer as he was going back to his cruiser to thank him for doing his job. He probably thought I was a little crazy, but and even through all that, I'm trying to learn a new trade at work and everything. Just have you ever been in a place where you felt like, okay, Lord, are you trying to say something? Because I know we can, because of our evolutionary thinking so much in the United States, think that things just happen by chance. But I don't believe that. I believe that God is a part of our everyday life. He's working, but can we see him? Are we humbling ourselves and saying, okay, Lord, or are we resisting what he might be trying to do and going around in circles? In Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 29 reads, and we know that God causes all things to work for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. Do we believe that? Do we believe that for ourselves? Do we believe that he's trying to conform us into the image of Jesus, his Son? And in thinking about and preparing and all, I thought about other events from my past. Major things. I had a head-on collision on my way to work, which took me out of work for a few weeks. I broke my arm on the weekend before I was supposed to start framing on a spec house. I fell and broke my back since I'd moved down to here. You know, the timing of things sometimes. Do we stop and consider the timing of things? Or are we just so busy we just totally miss what God is trying to say or do? I think he takes us and puts us on our back sometimes for a while just to try to get our attention. And I don't think I always even in some of these things realize what God might have done or might have said, and may not always realize the change, but I think others maybe noticed sometimes. But I think sometimes it's just a part of removing our pride, and so that the Lord is able to work in us and to use us more. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 6, says, my son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. I think discipline gets a bad rap. We think of it, you know, you did something wrong, so you're being disciplined. And that can happen. The Lord does that. But sometimes he's trying to train us up. We're children. Children have to be trained. It doesn't just come natural. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 says, even Jesus learned obedience through suffering. You know, if Jesus can learn obedience through suffering, what? I think we're going to have to suffer some to learn obedience to the Father. It doesn't come natural. It goes against our flesh. It goes against our desire. We want to be comfortable and at ease, but the Lord has a better way. This life is not all about us, even though in our environment here, that's what the world tries to say. Everything is about you. I looked up discipline in Webster's, the 1828 version, and it says, Webster said, to instruct or educate, to inform the mind, to prepare by instructing in correct principles and habits. As to discipline youth for a profession or for future usefulness. And that last part really kind of stood out to me, you know, to prepare for future usefulness. The Lord has to work in us through discipline so that we can be used, so that we'll be ready to be used. Do we despise God's discipline or chastening? Or do we even realize that it's God working in us to make us into his son's image? And looking some of this stuff up, I ran across Oswald Chambers from his morning devotional, My Utmost for His Highest, the date August 14th. And it says, despise not the chastening of the Lord. You know, some versions say discipline there. Nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. It's very easy, he says, to quench the spirit. We do it by despising the chastening of the Lord, by fainting when we are rebuked by him. If we have only a shallow experience of sanctification, we mistake the shadow for the reality. And when the Spirit of God begins to check, we say, oh, that must be the devil. Never quench the Spirit, and do not despise him when he says to you, don't be blind on this point anymore. You are not where you thought you were. Up to this present, I have not been able to reveal it to you, but I reveal it now. So when the Lord chastens you like that, let him have his way. Let him relate you rightly to God. The scripture goes on to say, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. We get into sulks, or we have pity parties, you know, with God and say, oh, well, I can't help it. I did pray, and things didn't turn out right, and I'm going to give it all up. Think what would happen if we talk like this in any other area of our life. Am I prepared to let God grip me by his power and do a work in me that is worthy of himself? Sanctification is not my idea of what I want God to do for me. Sanctification is God's idea of what he wants to do for me. And he has to get me into the attitude of mind and spirit where at any cost I will let him sanctify me wholly. Some of us are more stubborn and thick-headed than others. I include myself in there. But thank God for his faithfulness. He keeps working on us. He doesn't give up on us. You know, thank him for his unfailing love. Through this whole process, for the last few years, I've been reading clear through my Bible, starting in Genesis straight through. And during this time, I just happened to be reading through the book of Job. I just recently finished it just this past week. You know, some might think Job is just a story, but it's believed to be the oldest book in the Bible. It's only mentioned in two other places in the Bible that I know of. In Ezekiel 14:14, mentions the righteousness of Job, and in James 5:11, he speaks of the endurance of Job. But I think surely it could also be said that he was humble. He couldn't have gone through what he did. Job said in chapter 2, verse 10, I remember this is after, remember God had this conversation with Satan, you know, have you considered my servant Job? You know, he's an upright man and there's no one like him in all the earth. And Satan said, well, you've put a hedge all around him. I can't touch him. You've blessed him. You've prospered him. Job and Satan said, you know, but take that all away, you know, and he'll curse you to your face. So God said, okay, but you can't touch his life. You can't touch his body. So it says, in one day, there was four things that happened. He had all his possessions. It talks about the donkeys and the camels and the sheep. Thousands and thousands that he had. One thing after another happened. And before the guy was finished talking, the next messenger would come. And the next one before he was done talking. Four things. And the last of which said that a great wind came from the wilderness and knocked the four corners of the house where his children were at. And they were all dead. And then Job says, let me read that. I forgot. I got another verse. But in Job chapter 1. Verse 20 says, and then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell on the ground and worshipped. He worshipped God. He said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It says, through all this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. It's easy in our lives, we blame God when bad things happen. You know, it's, we can respond that way, or we can worship God like Job did here. He realized that everything he had came from God, and God took it away, but he had nothing bad to say. It was God's to begin with, and he trusted God, even though all these things happened. So I just want to have to encourage myself and encourage others, you know. We have to, when things happen in our life, we have to give God worship. We have to thank God because we can't see necessarily through past the situation that we're in. But he said he works all things together for good. And God's not a man that he can lie. We have to just stand on what the truth of his word and not give in what the enemy would want to put in our head. And then there was the second round where God said to Satan again, why have you considered my servant Job? You know, he's an upright man in all his ways. And Satan says, well, touch his body, you know. A man will give anything. Give anything for his physical body, you know. What can he give? I mean, there's no money in the world that can heal you of everything. But touch your body. And he said, he will curse you to your face. So again, God said, okay, but you can't take his life. And it talks about Satan put boils on him from his head to his toes, that his friends heard about, and when they came, they said they couldn't even recognize him. He was beyond recognition. It was so bad. And even later in Job chapter 2, verse 10, or before that, in Job chapter 2, even his wife says, do you still hold to your integrity? Why don't you just curse God and die? Get it over with. But his response to his wife said, shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity? I think a lot of us in our easy gospel, we think that God's just going to give us all good things. Our life's supposed to be just rosy and easy from here on out. That's not what he said. Our life is not just about this short time on earth. We're being trained. We're being conformed to spend eternity with him. You know, Job complained later on. He complained that he was even born. You know, why couldn't you have just, I'd not have been born. And he goes on about a lot of things, and we could complain about those things. But in the end, God rebukes him for some of the things that he said, which he didn't know about, because Job's just a man. He doesn't know the ways of God. He doesn't even know the great plan that God had for him or from the foundation of the world. But in the end, God rebuked his three friends who tried to say that it was because of sin, some terrible sin in his life, that all these things were happening. But like Enoch spoke of last week about the blind man, the disciples asked, whose sin was it? Was it this man's or his parents? And he said, neither, but so the glory of God might be revealed. God wants to reveal his glory through us. He wants to reveal it to encourage each other, but he wants to reveal it to the world, that because the world will be confounded by it, because it goes against the flesh, it goes against the natural mind. The glory of God . But will we be willing for God's glory to be revealed in us? He has to do a lot of work in us for that to be revealed. You know, we read in our study in Corinthians, we are the temple or the sanctuary of the Holy Ghost. It says we are not our own. And that verse, that part of that verse stood out to me when we were going through it. We are not our own. And I was thinking, what's Paul saying here? We're not our own because he's now living inside of us. Do we realize that? I think we have to remind ourselves, I have to remind myself of that. God is living inside of me. And I have to lay down my will for him to be able to do that. I have to lay down my desires and even believe that his desire for me is better than what I could imagine myself. You know, I've been walking with the Lord, or started anyhow, over 40 years ago. And I'm a little slow. I can say that. I say, where is it all gone? But I can at least be thankful that God, I can see. He has shown me the Lord is revealing that he is working in me. He has humbled me some enough that he can be seen sometimes by others. And it's my desire that he could humble me more, that I would not be seen so much, but that others might be able to see God's glory through me.